Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the Agape Worldwide Prayer and Delivery Ministry. Pastor Ruth from North Carolina. We welcome each and every person tonight. First of all, we give praise and thanks and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank and we praise him, you know, just for being in the land and living this opportunity on April 4th, 2021. You know, so it's 8 p.m. Eastern time. And we thank and praise God tonight to all the blessings that he bestowed. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we've been through, and no matter what we will continue to go through, we owe him all glory, praise, and honor. Just for being in the land to live in tonight. And I not only pray for this ministry, I pray for every ministry that God has called out, that he has named, that his name, that serves the name of Christ, and that living in righteousness and holiness and uplifting his name. We pray for them tonight. We pray for each and every city, every town, every country, every place we pray. We lift it up right now. We pray for the world and everyone in it. We pray for the peace of God, the peace of Jerusalem. We also pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for our country, and not only our country, other countries. We pray that God become Lord and Savior of our country. We pray that we would put him first again in our country. We just lift that up, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your mercy you have shown us. We thank you for the blessing. We thank you for everything, because you said give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God. And we do thank you. We do praise you. We do glorify your name in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So, Father, we just ask you to bless tonight. We ask you to let your will be done. Have your way. Take completely over. Take complete control. You know, of this network, Father, allow your name to be glorified. We want to magnify your name. We want to lift you up. We want to give your people hope, Father, in the midst of the troubles and things that's going on in the land. And we want to, you know, we want to just encourage the people to get in a closer relationship with you, Lord God. That's what we want to encourage them to do, because the only way we can make it through is getting in that particular place in Christ Jesus. So we thank and we praise you tonight, Lord God, as we honor you for this time that we'll be on, Father. And I ask you to let me decrease that you may increase. And, Lord, let me just pour out and pray and preach the word or whatever you would have me to do, Father, as if in giving glory and honor to you. It's not even about the people. I'm here to glorify you and honor you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray for healing and deliverance right now, Father. We just pray, Father God, for anyone who may be sick in their body. We send forth your healing verses right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to touch, heal, deliver, and set free. And, Lord, we ask you to, Lord God, allow your angels to go forth and bring forth healing and deliverance to your people right now. We ask you to send forth the healing angel, send forth the financial angel, send forth any angel you want to send, God, to do your bidding right now. God, because so many of us waiting, so many of us believing, so many of us got a situation, Father, that we need you to move in, Father. We are praying and we're believing, Lord God, for you, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, to move. We're waiting on you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, to bring about some changes, God. So we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to give your people hope, God. Let them know, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you have always stayed in waiting. You not have forgotten us. Although sometimes it feels like that, but we know, those of us who really know you, know that it's not so. I mean, not so, but I'm asking you, Father, that those who don't know you in that manner, encourage their heart, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just want to thank you. We want to praise you. We want to glorify your name tonight. And, Father, I'll be coming from the scripture of Matthew, thank you, Jesus, 19th chapter. And I read some down from the 16th verse, but I actually go down to some other, before I really began to expound on the words and let people know, you know, there are certain things and certain conditions of the heart set in mind that would hinder us not only from going to heaven, but also into the things, inherit the things of the kingdom on earth. It's really because of the heart. The Bible tells us that the heart is desperate, wicked above all things. And sometimes we can have things, people, situation, mindsets, and everything have a heart and mind on rather than on the things of God and make a God out of it. And, you know, we serve a God who's jealous. He said, thou shalt have no other God before him. And that doesn't make any difference what it is. Anything that we have so close attachments or something to it that it got to come first. You know, some people I've seen, they got a mindset. It's what they think and what they want and what it's going to be, no matter what the Bible says. Or they could want whatever they want of their life because it's their life. They can live it any way they want it. And they don't know the dangers in saying this. They don't know that their life was put in this earth planet, not for their will and their glory, but for the Lord's. He had a purpose and a plan for each and every person's life. And your plan had, I mean, your life had already been planned out before you ever come into the world. So, Lord, we just thank you for that tonight. But I began to read 16 verses, and behold, this is what he was talking about, the rich man. In heaven, he said, behold, who came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And a lot of time, a lot of us, that's the way we think. I'm a good person, I'm a good this, and I can do this, I can do that. But it's not about you or you being good. And we'll see what the scripture says about that, about being good. But the Bible says, going back again, it's Matthew 19 chapter, starting at 16 verse. The 17th verse said, and he said unto him, Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou will, enter into life, keep the commandment. And when I tell people, I hear people a lot of times say, you know, well, such and such person is a good person. And, you know, and I'm a good person. Scripture tells us, not even Jesus is good. No one is good but the Father. And either we're going to stick to the scripture, or are we going to stick to our own mindset of what somebody is teaching and preaching and saying that's contrary to Scripture? The Bible tells us that God be truth and every man is a lie. So this is me. A lot of time with me, and I have assigned myself to the Word of God. If I'm saying something that's contrary to Scripture, not in Scripture, then I need to change and go back to what the Word of God say. And like I said that again. He said, well, I call it out me good. This is Jesus speaking. There is none good but one. That is God. That is God. Because the Bible tells us every man got their heart. I don't care who we is or what. He said your heart is desperately wicked. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit living and controlling in your life, you'll do just some things that other people do. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can constrain us from doing anything, and we must have it. But it was 18th verse that he said to him, which Jesus said, thou should do no murder, thou should not commit adultery, thou should not steal, thou should not bear false witness, which means lie against others. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou should love thy neighbor as thyself. And I'm going to explain about that loving your neighbor as yourself. Basically what that means is I'm supposed to love anyone else. It don't have to be next door neighbor. Just like I love myself. If I don't want to hurt me, I don't want to hurt them. That's what it means. If I do the best for me, I'm going to do it for them. But a young man said unto him, Jesus, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What like I yet? Now we're going to see what Jesus is saying. See, because you can be done all of that and been the best person of doing, giving, and everything else. But still, there'll be something in our lives like that he requires that we're not doing. But Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, that word means to be complete or mature in the spirit, go and say that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. And what is this saying? You know, if I am a mature Christian, I will sacrifice and give up what I have to help somebody else. If I'm an immature Christian or immature church girl, whatever you want to call it, then I won't do it. My heart will be selfish. I'm going to take care of mine first, and then if I have anything left over. So, see, the person, even though he's done all them other things, but this may be something he God is requiring of him, he's not willing to do. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, but he had good possession. He had a lot, but he didn't want to give it up. Just like we see people today, and I've told the Lord this, there's no way I could be running around here not even a million, but some million, and see all the help that needed help. And I say, I'm a Christian. And don't reach out. My heart will not let me because of having Christ on the inside of me. And I know how I am. A lot of time I would deny myself, really, to help someone else. I take what I got, and maybe I need to do something with for myself. But if I see a need, or see, and most time with me, it's really about the kingdom of God. Whatever I can get somebody to help them to get close to the Lord. That's what I usually do. Not saying I won't give them food or something like that. But a lot of other stuff, I won't do it. Okay, then he said, Jesus said unto the disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not saying because he got money, but because of his heart, his selfishness of his heart, the person's heart. Whether they're rich or whatever it is, they got more than enough, but they don't want to share, or they feel they can't share, I'm going to say before a rainy day or whatever it is. He said, because of your heart. Okay, this man riches, what he had, was his God. Anything that I have that I can't let go, whatever it is, it has become a God in my heart. So that means that God is not first. He is not first. I don't care how I want to think it, how I want to push it. That's why I tell you, go back to Scripture. Anything I can't let go, I have made a God of it in my heart. And I'm not saying it don't hurt when God tells us to let go of some things, you know, or let go of some people, or and they can't be first. He's not saying that, you know, to love them or get rid of them all the time, but we cannot make them be first, that they'll come first when he may be saying something else or do something else. And I often tell people the testimony about my daughter when he had told me to do her like that. And I could say she was 18 at the time. And he was telling me, do a prophet. No, I hadn't heard it before because I hadn't even read the Bible like that. But see, I had the Holy Ghost. But he said his sheep know his voice. I don't care whether you never heard it before. If you got the real spirit in you, it's something in your guts. So it may not be natural to the sense, but I know this God. But anyway, when the Lord was telling me that I had to let her go in my heart, she couldn't be first in my heart. Couldn't be first. He said, I know you're lonesome, but you got to let her go in your heart. I pleaded with the Lord to please help me because I understand God's word. I understand that anything that you don't let go, you're going to lose it anyway. And at the time, she was talking about going out to Hawaii or somewhere, wherever she was talking about going. I said, Lord, I must please help me because she go out there because I feel like if I go, I probably don't want to come back. So I asked God to please take off my heart. But he's done a lot of different things in a way we couldn't connect and we couldn't do. So I knew what he was doing. I knew he was taking her off my heart. Because see, the Lord was telling me that anyone of his people, the one that belongs to him he don't see no difference. He don't see the difference like we do in the flesh. See, now, some people would have said, but well, you had her, that she's your baby. He allowed me to be stewards over her, but she belonged to him. And he's saying his other kids out there that belong to him, he loved them just as much as he loved her. And if he in me, he going to love them just like I love her. And he say to me, now I'm saying he had to get me to this point, saying to me, say, I want you to bless one of my other, I'll be there for one of my other, and she need me. Okay, I would have to be strong enough in the spirit to go and do what he tell me to do and knowing he going to take care of her. And he tested me on that. So she had came back to my hometown and we had to go to the hospital. I was having a shut-in. I didn't know why he told me to change it from a whole week straight to give it on weekends. But anyway, when she come to go in the hospital, he didn't let me stop with the people that I had there to go there go with her to sign in. And then when she was in there, for the first 3 days, while I was having the shut-in, I couldn't leave the people to go. During the days, a couple of days on the weekend, I wasn't having it. I went over there, and I told her I'd come to say. She said, no, Mom said, the people might need you. I knew that was God. Because I know in being an only child, I know how they are a lot of times. You know, they don't want to share their mama and nobody else. But I knew. See, you got to know the voice of God. I'm not talking about because it sounds right to your head and just don't make sense. Obviously, that's a person living in carnality. And he was letting her know and letting her realize that I had a work to do. And I was going to pray either way. I couldn't sit over there and just sit over there and I'm going to pray either way. I had to tend to the work that I was called to do. And you see, people understand, when God is giving you a work to do, that is what is important to him. And he take care of everything else that belongs to you. So I'm coming, I see some more questions come on. I'm coming from Matthew, the 19th chapter, and I saw that the 16th verse and reading down on there, and I'm down now to what I think I stopped at the 23rd verse. Anyway, when Jesus talked to the disciples, and he was telling them about the rich man wouldn't give up the riches and stuff, you know, and all this stuff. He didn't want to give them up. He's saying, well, he did this and he did that. You know, no matter what good you have done, every good thing ain't the next ever God thing, and vice versa. And how we people, which I don't do this anymore, tell people, you know, that's a good person. They're a good person. Scripture tells us in Matthew the 19th chapter, 17th verse, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? This is what Jesus was saying. There is none good but one. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandment. We as Christians, got to stop going on with other people saying that and going on with our own self saying that and saying, I'm a good person. I've never done anything wrong to anybody, but we have done something wrong to God when we have turned our heart against him. We got to stick to the scripture. We got the scripture because that means that I'm disagreeing with his word, but I'm agreeing with what I think that I'm a good person. As the Bible says, every heart is desperately wicked. The scripture, desperately wicked. But anyway, I'm going down here to the 24th verse. And again, I say unto you, easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. What it means is that because of what's in a person's heart, and basically whatever's in there, it's God in their life. You cannot enter into any kingdom of God and have another God in your heart. It's not another God. The Bible says anything you attach to, anything you so connected, you can't let it go. It is a God. And you serve a God who's jealous. He don't want any of us to have anything or anybody come first in our life. People say, well, I won't do that. I never did it. Let me tell you something. God will test you because he did it to me more than one time. He will test. He tests you to see. You say, okay, you say I'm first. Okay, I'm going to put this situation before you that is very close to your heart. But I'm already going to be told you to do something. I'm going to see which one you're going to do. Most of us, because not being what we need to be in the Lord, some of us because of religious teaching and all of this stuff, that we say he'll understand, so we put him aside. And we're going to go ahead and do this. We can't do that. I mean, you can do it, but you're going to pay the price. He will come and test you. I don't care what you tell God you're going to do. Oh, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to go where you tell me to go. I'm going to do this. All of a sudden, he may bring a place that you would never think about going. You find all the things wrong and not realize he tests you because you just told him. I go everywhere. I do everything. And most time with him, he puts you in a situation where it's all hell and no peace, no whatever there. To see if you're willing to keep your word that you promised him. He wants to show you what's in your heart. Because Christians today got this thing that God wants them in his place. Everybody liking them, everybody licking and loving them, everybody just doing all this stuff, you the tops, you this. That's not the way they're serving Christ. That's not the way it is serving Christ at all. We should really study and read a lot about the peoples in other countries. I'm talking about, you know, China and all them different places. That the stuff they have to go through with the spread of the gospel. They still so on fire. They got them spread. I don't care if you're talking about killing them. I don't care if you're talking about locking them up. I don't care if you're talking about killing their family. They will not turn their back on God, the majority of them. If it means going to prison for the kingdom's sake, they willing to do it. Over here in the Western world, we've been running. Because God can have us in the mansions, and everybody lifting the lacking up. We got the 10 or 12 cars. Everybody just lifting us up, and we all of this. No, people's being delivered and set free now. We just got the luxury of life. No power at all. God said, okay, give one my daughter down the street, that car, brand new Mercedes you got out of there. Give her one of them. Now, you got about 10, 11 cars. I can't do that because God bless me. He don't want me to do that. I may give it to one of my family members. He said, give it to the sister down there. See, so them cars is at God. I don't care what they're going to church doing. I don't care if it's the prophet lying, prophesying, or preaching, teaching, whatever it is. God don't have a heart. See, then that's what he'll do. He will take you down and strip you down until you get to the point. He'll have your heart one way or another. He's going to strip it down. But he said, when the disciples heard, they was exceedingly amazed, saying, well, then who could be saved? But Jesus beheld, that means he discerned or he gazed them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. You can't do it within yourself. You cannot. No willpower, no all this mess that people be telling us. When I got ready, I came in the Lord. That's a lie. The Bible says, except the Spirit draw, you can't come. Whenever I got tired of smoking, This is a lie. It's the power of God. No willpower. You can do nothing without me. And this is why we don't have no business going out there telling other people. Well, you can stop when you get ready. All you got to do is make up your mind to stop. Go back to Scripture. You can do nothing without me. This is why I tell people a lot of time. I know it's the Holy Ghost not using them out there in the world. It's what they've been religious taught, what they think. And tell people, when you get rid of this, then you can come in the kingdom. There's nothing to say. At all. He's after your heart. When he gets your heart, you drop everything else. It'll just drop off. But the root of it is your heart. Your heart, when God, your heart leave God, then you start doing other stuff. Don't care what it is. This is why no sin, no wrong done, ain't no worse than them another. Every person that deviate from God's, from God and his heart, they may not go back out in the street and do that. Some of them get hateful, mean. I'm going to do what I want to do. I know God told me to go over there and left field, but I'm going on here and right, because that's what the people are. That's what people say. Same difference. Don't make no difference. Then Peter said unto them, him, behold, we have all forsaken or left everything and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? So this is what he's saying to the people in your heart. I'm talking in your heart. You got to let everything and everybody go. They got to come second place or third place or fourth. They cannot be first. Okay? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me went after him. In the regeneration, that word he is talking about, when you've been changed by the grace of God from a carnal nature to a spiritual nature, your mind becomes spiritual mind. You desire the things of the Spirit. You desire whatever it is of the kingdom of God. Yes, you may need not to suffer, but that's not your desire. Now you are a spirit. You've been regenerated. You've been changed. So you're not dreaming and thinking about the things of this world. More so than you think the king, but you know this, that God's going to give you those things that you need in the world, but they're not first in your life, okay? He said, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is about those people of God, those who have been regenerated and changed from a carnal nation. No carnal-minded Christian, or whatever we want to call them, is going to be judged in nothing. And they're not going to be sitting on the throne of God. I don't care if they're searching and all this, and they got all these other stuff in their heart. God is not in their heart. He's not going to have a false God sitting judging anything. Okay? And the Bible said, this is what it says, and everyone that hath forsaken or left houses, you really give up houses, you really give up brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land for my name's sake. And basically that means because of his name's sake, because of what he said, and I'm doing this for him. in my heart, letting everything go. And I said a testimony a few minutes ago when I was talking about when the Lord had me to do that by my daughter. With my family, I haven't been around them anyway. I didn't understand why he didn't allow me to. Because of the work that he got for me to do, I cannot let anything or anybody, not even them, come first place. They got to be in the place where everybody else is. And he knows at the time, I couldn't have done that on myself. So what he had to do was separate me from him and make it be so that I couldn't go back home that often, only maybe when funeral time come. And like I said, after having my daughter, and it was just me and her, after having her, then you send word. I'm at the house talking. He had somebody call me and begin to talk to me about that, about letting her go and all of that. And like I said, it take an idiot that know if this person ain't nowhere around you, you ain't seen them, they're telling you what you should be in your heart thinking and talking to God about and how I was so connected to her, and they telling you that God said you got to let go. If you don't know that God, you got a problem. Something wrong with your thinking. And then, like I said, the only shower. And he telling me, now you something like Abraham. When he told Abraham about Isaac, you know, he's going to give him Isaac, make him many nations, I mean many people, many seeds. And then you turn around and tell him to take him up to the mountain and sacrifice him. That's what he was telling me to do for her. Put her on the altar. Sacrifice her, give her up. And once he saw my heart, and not being able to go there with her and sit in the hospital with her, he knew that I loved him, and he was first in my life. But like I said, I thank God again for her because she understands that. She understands that, and I actually had told her, don't never put me first because you need him. He created you. He brought you into this world. And if I can't do for you, and because you got him first, he will use somebody else to do for you. Never make a God out of me. Never. And she don't do that. Okay, but anyway, I'm going to read that again. And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake, give it up in my heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, you be first, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Another scripture say, I believe it's in Mark, say, you're going to receive persecution. So if I don't give up, those things he required me to give in my heart, it's my being first, I got to love him less. That I have no business thinking I'm going to get a hundredfold in this life and inherit everlasting life. Because it's in the word. And he said, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Because a lot of people out there, they are not going to give up these things in their heart. Because they think they got to. I mean, they got to keep them. And God said, but I don't want them first. I don't want them first. There are times that what I have done, I have been maybe sit talking to somebody on the phone praying with them. My daughter had called or text. Thank God it wasn't an emergency. So she wanted to talk. And she just said, but she always like to say, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm talking to such and such. Okay, I'll see you later. I'll call you later. She don't put on my spirit because she know me. She know I'm nothing to turn with God. She know that. And she's not going to put on my what's on. But I want to talk to my mama. No. No. And I feel like if it's an emergency, God will let me know. But I tell her, I said, well, okay, what we're going to do, whoever got on the phone, you know, okay, this situation come. Now let's pray with me. Let's pray for her. But she will not so far hinder me from doing the work that God has called me out to do. She'll say, I'll call you back in a heartbeat. I'll call you back later. You go ahead on, tell them I say hey or whatever. Because, see, I made a what's wrong with the Lord. When I said, Lord, I sell out completely. With his help, I did that. Not knowing what he's going to require of me to have to give up. Places, like I said, he had me to live and all of that and increase in weight. She got that much pay, she should be, they wanted me to be living in a mansion. There wasn't time for the mansion. God had to take me through to strip a lot of stuff out of me that I thought was important. Food I poor. I got saved in the world when I first got saved because I'm hearing a Christian. God wants you to have this and God wants you to do this and God wants you to do that. And I had a lady one time to tell me, she said, well, a pastor, she said, she had got this mattress, and she was kind of big, and her husband kind of big, and it had, like, after a year, I don't know what that happened to, but anyway, she said, I know God don't want me sleeping on a mattress like this. I said, hold up. Is you crazy? Look at them people in other country. They sleep on the ground, and they love the Lord. They love him. And you think he loved you more than he loved them? You may have to go to Africa, because that's what I'm saying. He got to condition you to go there to think that you ain't got to have the best, and you're telling the people, before you minister to the people, you got to have all of your six stars, whatever you had in the world. No, that's not Christ. Think about what Christ is like for us. He could have had all the luxury, but he came down from heaven, left all the best to show people you can live without it too. You don't have to have it, but once you get it out of your heart, I can give it to you. But many of these people are going to be last, and they think they're going to be first because their heart is not after the heart of God. And I'm not saying that God won't give you these things. That's not what I'm saying. But when they become second or last or whatever, go back to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse. See, because those that love him will obey him. Those that love him, you're willing to give up. Just like in the natural life. When you love somebody, or somebody especially the women's men and men's of the women, when you love them, really love them, you let go, you live uncomfortable for them before. But with Christ, if I do him like that, maybe he won't give it to me. I tell you, who do you think you're serving? You're not serving a crook. I said, sometimes we don't deal with so many crooks. We think everybody's a crook, even him. He said, I would never say that. Action, a lot of things implied rather than said. But why not willing to say, well, I'm a trust the Lord. If he said give up, like I said I did with my daughter, like I said even with other people, there's a lot of other people that come to me and try to jack me up like they love me so, and you know, and even if you pray for me, and oh, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. First of all, you're not supposed to manipulate me. If God tells me to pray, I'm going to pray, whether you give me anything or not. Because why? You would do that to work witchcraft, to get what you want. And you think God going to deny me. God can come back and make you give because you make the promise. But you're not going to manipulate me with the word of God because that is demonic. That is not Christ. So I'm not doing anything against you by not yielding to what you want me to do because of your misunderstanding of scripture or you don't even know the scripture and you're still using the world thing of coming in and trying to get what you want from God. And I'm going to go to Mark, the 8th chapter. Let me see what this is here. And I'm going to read you from the 8th chapter, 34th through 38th verse. See, we got to go back to the word of God. And this is talking about your self-life. Whatever you want, whatever you think, you have not checked with God to see whether this is what he wants for your life or anything. You're talking about what you want. And I do hear people telling people, well, you know, whatever come up in your heart, that's the Lord. Let me tell you something. If we don't really get Christ in our heart is still selfish, and he is not going along with it because something that come up is not really what he wants. It's what we want. But scripture says, and when he had called the people to Jesus to get unto him with his disciples, also he said unto them, whosoever will come after me that follow him, proceed after him, it does not mean that he follow us. Because that's what we're trying to do, tell him what to do. You know, I would like to live in New York. He said, no, I don't want you to live in New York. I want you to go into the place that ain't so, you know, fancy, ain't so nice. I want you to go live in the ghetto. I know, no, Lord, I know I say I probably, but I can't go live in the ghetto. Okay, that's your self-life. That's where you want to go. But he said go to New York. But guess what's going to happen eventually anyway? Let me read on down. He said, let me go back to the football. Disciple, also he said unto them, whosoever will deny himself, come after me and let him deny himself. Refuse to give in to yourself and take up your cross, your burden, your whatever he's out come your way. That is a burden. That's your cross. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it came When you come into the world, after you grow up, after you whatever, that were your cross. And even when come in after you get saved, that is your cross to bear. He allowed it to come. It was already a part of the puzzle. He said, but even though you take up your cross and follow after me, you remember when Jesus was given the cross? When he was going to the cross, you know, they put the cross on their back. He had to carry it after being beaten and everything else. But so happened there was a man that did take the cross and care for him. So he did that as an example to us. I will give you heavy burdens to bear. But you have to forget about how I feel, how they done me, how they this, why I'm the only one. Because I've heard people, I'm talking about people that have been in the Lord all the time. I'm the only one that ever been through this. And I'm telling you, I tell people, you need to stop lying. So whatever you've been through, somebody else done been through it. And they came through it. Some didn't, some did. But see, that's self-pity. That is saying, well, you go, God don't love me because why he let me go through it. I think about it. I always think, when I tell people this, when they start complaining, the Father loved his Son, his only Son. Look what he let him go through for us. So if love is not letting me go through anything, then we don't know what love is. We don't know what love is. Because no way we can love better than the Father or the Son. But he allowed his Son to go through this for us. And if he didn't die for us, where would we be? He could have just died for the Jew because he was a Jew. You and I, when we're going through tests and trials and dying to our fleshly ways and thinking higher, we are doing it for somebody else, not necessarily your loved one, but whomever God has said that you're going to have to take your spirit life now and go introduce it to them. That is your cross. That is my cross. Or when you hear me telling my testimony, that is the cross and the places he designed for me to have to go through that didn't just happen. They was already in the puzzle before I ever came in the world. Everything that I had to go through with. Every person that came against me. But it wasn't to destroy me because I had to die to a lot of root ways of thinking. Oh, you know, I'm the only one coming up. A lot of the people around me and the girls around me going to school, they had the best I didn't have. They could date and I couldn't date, you know, and all this stuff. My daddy was tight on me and didn't know why. But I realized the cost of being chosen for my mother, womb. Matthew thought he was doing it on his own, but I believe the Lord was guiding him. Because God was trying to protect me from some things. But I thought out of ignorance, I was being denied. You know, but who knows if he had taken his hand off me, what I would have done. I might not be where I am today. I went through more rejection of people, even after I got grown. Hated me for no reason because I was trying to help somebody. I didn't understand it. But once I got in Christ, began to get in the Word, and knowing I was called out, I know they hated the good. People hate good in people. They hate good in people. So they try to fix that so you can never be good no more. You can think, but I'm the only one. But anyway, let me read them down. It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. So whatever you try to save, that God wants you to get rid of it, I'm giving you scripture. He said you'll lose it anyway. I don't care how you try to hold on to it. If it's an idea, if it's a friend, or if it's a place, and he's going to need it for the kingdom of God or whatever, then you're going to lose it anyway. I'm going to stop right here for a few seconds because the Lord had me start having Bible studies in my house. Okay, and I had people around me. Well, you know, I don't want people coming to my house sitting on my nice stuff, and I don't want this, and I don't want that. And also, one lady, she wanted me to let her have it, but she wanted to set a time on God. I don't play that. Timing is his. I said, if he come in here and have y'all stay all night long, I'm gonna let you stay. I told God. I said, Lord, I said, nah. You own everything. How can I tell you what you can't use and what you can't put? I said, well, I understand scripture. If you want to use this place to start a Bible study, I won't let you do it. You were some kind of way called me to lose it. Somebody else will get it that will do what you want them to do. Because you want to use this place. Because you said everything, you own it. I'm on the stewards over it. So how can I tell you what you ain't going to use, what you shouldn't use? See, being sold out in your heart, okay, And so basically he said, I lose it anyway. But whosoever shall lose his life when you give it up, for my sake, kingdom's sake, and the gospel, the same shall save it. So if I'm willing to give up everything that I got and meaning in my heart for God to use it for his glory, I am saving my life. I am doing what I need to do. But I said, I'm going to hold this. I'm not going to use this for the kingdom of God. I'm going to use it for myself. That food, I'm going to keep this food myself for me and my daughter. She's not here now. But anyway, that did happen. But I didn't, I had four cans of food or something. This woman come down, and it was her boyfriend's mother, and she lived at a fair. And I never really be honest. Like when a woman got a man laying with him, with her, you need to let that joker take care of you or put him out. So at that time, I had that mindset, but the Lord had melted my heart, so I couldn't do her like I would have did her if I was a sinner. I had to share the food with her, not knowing what me and my daughter was going to eat. But I'm saying this is because of the changes God made him. I'm not trying to make him all of that in a bag of chips. God had changed my heart. But after that, the Lord put two different women in my life at the same time. One week, another lady come, and she knocked on the door and told me, said she wanted me to come out to the car. She had some groceries. I mean, I'm talking about one or two bags. Enough to last a while. After that got low, another lady come, and she said, the Lord told me to go to the store and to get you some groceries for you, but don't even come and get you because you ain't going to get nothing anyway. And that's the way I was because I didn't like to hear you talk. She would go, and she would get piles of groceries. Then that particular one, she's one of these kind of uppity people, and but Lord make her get up every Saturday morning and go to the farmer's market and buy what he want me to cook because I was not going to ask you for anything. I've been hungry and wasn't going to say nothing. But neither one of them. But because I shared that food, I shared the food what I had. And not knowing, like I said, in the natural with my daughter, because my face was being built at the time. I wasn't there. Not knowing where I was going to get food to feed her. See, God had me slowly learning revelation and giving up and doing what the Bible said do. Yes, some of the people go, but that's just crazy. That makes no sense. Because that's your baby. They meant well, but out of ignorance, people called you missing, okay? He said, for what shall it profit, or what gain, if a man, if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You keep all of this stuff that he's telling you to let go, because we think that if we get rid of it, he's not going to give us anything more. He just wanted out of your heart. And he turned around and give you more and better than what you ever had or thought you could have, and you don't have to pay for it. I believe that. Because give means just what it say. Give, that the scripture does not say, I'll let you buy everything you want and give to you. He didn't say that. Give means just what it say. Pay a close attention, not only to the word of God you read, but even God is using a person to give you a word or prophesy. Pay attention to the word that they give, not try to change it to your way of thinking. Okay? Don't do that. He said, well, what shall profit a man, I'm reading that again, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What do I see now? I'll say at least 85% of God's people. But they want the things of the world. I'm not saying God's not going to give us a thing. I'm not saying that. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else is going to be added. That's what scripture say. So what does that mean? When I seek for the things of God's kingdom, peace and joy of the Holy Ghost, the healing, the deliverance, for giving out to people. Everything is kingdom-minded. It's no way that he will withhold anything from me if I walk according to his word, even beyond what I can come up with. But I got to trust him and trust his word. And this is why I told the Lord recently, I listen to people talk, and people think I don't, but I do. Their heart is not about God. It's what he done promised me. What have you promised him and have done? What have I promised him and have done? Why am I no further in Christ than where I am? I can't put it on other people. I might do it, but it ain't going to work. Because the Bible tells us to work out your own soul for salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah, he knows the devil's out there to stop us. But he also give us what we need not to allow him to do it. So we can't blame him for that. But anyway, so, of what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, Ain't nothing you can give up. Nothing. It's worth more than giving him your complete soul, everything about you. Nothing. None of us got nothing. I don't care if it's a bank with $1 million in it. To give that up, he tell you, give that up, because I'm going to save your soul. I'm going to save your household. I'm going to save whatever it is. Some people is so spiritually ignorant. They'd rather keep the money and then try to pray or get somebody to pray for God to save the soul when he done told them to give up the million. Tell me, God gave me a revelation at one time. I thought about the Kennedy lady, Jacqueline, when she had, you know, died and had the cancer. I thought about all that money she had. I thought about how she had married that billionaire, whatever he was. But could none of that save her life or her soul? None of it. And it made me begin to look at things in a different perspective. What out of this world mean more to me to hold on to than try to gain Christ? This is why when he was taking me through and had me living all them different places, and I talk about how during that time when I was got saved, I moved more time then than I moved when I was a sinner. I always had basis what I wanted and move where I wanted when I went, and not that often. But he began to uproot me, send it as a basis, it was as a traveling event, but it was in the city, from house to house and neighborhood to neighborhood. And it wasn't the best neighborhood. But I had to be in there to pray, or I had to be in there. Some of the people, he allowed to come to the ministry, but I wasn't there for everybody. And I had to make up my mind, Lord Jesus, because people talking, I'm thinking too, but you said that you gave me great faith. You could have resurrected me and prayed, Lord, why am I going here? But that's when I see, for I've grown. I had to stop asking God stupid questions like that. But he was asking me to give up the kind of lifestyle and all the things that you like and you want before you ever come to me. I got to take you this way because of the life that I got for you. All that stuff can be in your mind and your thoughts and in your action and your attitude. So I have to take you down this road in order to strip you of whatever. Because coming up poor, I had the attitude. Not come up poor. I ain't gonna never live no poor no more. Now I'm gonna get a job. I'm not gonna, because I came up in a 3-room shack. You know, my mother was an alcoholic. My daddy was a whole mama. You know, more or less, so I'm gonna have the best. So when I got, you know, got grown and got a job and got the best job, I bought what I want, when I want, went to the best store. Oh, I never go to no Goodwill. This is what I'm saying. I'm being honest. Honey, let me tell you something. That's why I tell you, don't ever say what you won't do, because I'm telling you, I know a man for over with, you will end up living, going the very way that you say, because that's pride that rose up in you. And he said, I can't use that in the kingdom of God, because pride comes for destruction of the Holy Spirit before a fall. So I got to take you back down and bring you back up, so whenever you do, you won't be all into self. And not only that, I thought I was all into whatever. When I was hot in the world, I was the queen bee or whatever you want to call it. I thought I was the top of the line. And then making clothes, that fit, I always made them clothes that it's going to take eyes, be on me. But God said, I got to strip you. You're too much into yourself. People can't see you. I mean, see me for seeing you. You got to make sure you be what God. Even in going in clubs or whatever it is, or if it's a dance or something, I wasn't going on no time. I was going after things that got started. So when I go in, if anybody looks on their eyes or turn, that's the way I was before I got born again. That is exactly the way I was. Because, you see, you too much into yourself. You think you all that in a bag of chips. You can't be there. But anyway, let me just go on here. He said, whosoever, that's whoever, whenever, however, therefore shall ye be ashamed of me. He said people that like that, they are ashamed of him. The shame of me and my word in this adultery, he called it an sinful generation. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes up, comes in the glory of his Father and of the Holy Angel. Those people that remain that way, although they said they're born again, they say they're Christian. They're not really born again. Born again means that you're a new creature in Christ. Everything about you, the way you think, the way you do. The Holy Spirit comes into your soul, into the Spirit of God. But your flesh don't get saved. So that's why you have to crucify the flesh. You, I, and the deeds of it. He doesn't do it. He gives you the power of the Holy Ghost. The things that you used to want and used to lack, don't go. Then he gives you the power as he reveal it, whether through preaching, teaching his word, how it become. And say, okay, now I'm showing you what needs to go in my word. I don't care who come preaching it different and telling you, but no, you don't have to do that now, and you have to be, as they say, proud of yourself. And no, be proud of Jesus. Be proud of Jesus. I know a lady, she's dead now, and she was up in aid, but she had told me one time, she said that she had told the Lord that whenever she go out, that she wanted people to, she wanted to look good so people can see her. And I'm a baby in the Lord, and I'm looking at her saying to myself now, I know you ain't say it there. I didn't say to her. I said, no, you ain't say it there. What's going on? But she claimed it did. But this lady, like I say, on and over the years as I learned her, she always wanted to be about her. And what's going on, even to the point where when she came down because of disobedience, hard head, she came down with cancer. And she was still worried about her looks. I'm telling her in her house, I'm telling her, what are you talking about? I said, because I know the doctor had given her 6 months, but I never would go that way with her. We never talked about the cancer. I only talk about the word. I'm not going to let you talk about it. We're going to talk about the word, to buy his stripes you heal. But the Lord was also had me talking to her about her changing the way she's thinking, her fulfilling his will. But all she was still worried about, her looks in her house, it was very decent. She never really had to buy anything. God would always have people, when they upgrade, they give it to her. She never had to, what's called, and she was worried about it when she got sick. I'm tired of looking at these curtains, and I want some of them. They was all custom-made drapers and what's called. And I said to myself, I said to her, I said, what are you worried about a curtain for? You need to be worried about your soul and to finish your work for Jesus. I said, she's what people look at when they come. I said, you need to tell them people. If they either want something better, they can buy for you, or they're at the front door. I said, I'm here to pray. I know you should be teaching me. She was older, and you've been in your Lord church longer. You need to be teaching me instead of me teaching you. I said, but God knows who to send in your life just to help to stand with you while you're going through this. And I was still encouraging her. To obey God. You still in the land of living. I don't care how old you are. That ain't got nothing to do with God. He knew that when he put that calling in you. He knew that. He doesn't live in that realm of the natural realm. He doesn't realm. We have no business thinking like that. I said, and she said, another lady had told her that. I said, but the lady told me, she told her. I called her and told her, I said, let me tell you something. This woman told me what she said. I said, but the devil is a lie. You ain't ready to get in no chair. I don't care how old you are. Because if you're still living here and you have not done your work, he's allowing you the chance to do it. And I'm here to help encourage you to do it. But she kept letting the devil put in her mind. He allowed her every time she get ready to go do something, feel bad. And she gave into that. I told her, don't you know how to fight the devil? I would rather die doing his work than to sit back and being to my... I'm giving into the what and not pull up my car. Because when you stand before him, he is not going to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. I don't care how many Christians tell you, you all of that and you're a woman of faith and which really she wasn't. That's what people thought. So they didn't realize that behind the scenes, she would call me and ask me to pray with her that the Lord would send her money in to pay bills every month. Before I got into revelation knowledge, I did that. Then when I got the revelation, I told him, no, I'm not. That's because all you got to do is obey God. You do what he tells you to do, then guess what? You won't have to worry about them bills. I said, you're not doing, you go to church. You know, she sits on the bench. She was, you know, she was prophetic and all this and called to be a preacher. I like sitting on the bench. Going back to what I just got through. See, Seth was not going to die. I'm doing what I like to do because I want the people for accolades. But end up, like I said, she died. I was praying and believing for the last minute that God would change her heart and for her to fulfill the calling. You know, in church over all these years. So I put, you ain't want to preach, and you ain't want to do this, and you, I just like sitting on the bench, and the pastor would ask her to get in the pulpit. I don't like sitting. I said, see, you're being rebellious right there. Because God is telling your leader to tell you to sit there in the pulpit, and you talk about what you don't want to do. But see, the thing of it is, and she appreciated me before she died. She appreciated me. She said, I'm glad God put you in my life. I didn't know why I had to meet you. Because, like I said, she was a whole lot older and all that stuff. But I don't look at age. I really don't. And she was saying, a lady called me a hammerhead one time. And I said, well, you are. I wouldn't mean disrespect for her. I said, because you don't fuss back at me or anything. I said, but whatever the Lord tell me to tell you and I push you to do it, you won't do it. That because of a rebellious spirit was in her. I don't know why her pastor did not see it. And then I call it out and break the power of it over her life. Because every one of her children and grandchildren, some was in the church, but it's in the church. But one curse after another, one curse after another, one curse after another. And that's what was going on, one curse after another. And I was telling her, if you had been in the center of God's will, you wouldn't have had all them children and grandchildren going to prison. They wouldn't be going to prison at all. Because whoever the matrix are, whoever who is telling you, if you walk in the will of God, the generation of curse breaks. It has to break off of you. Because you're in the center of God's will. That's what I'm talking about going to church. You know, I'm not saying don't go. That's not what I'm saying. But make sure that whatever you're doing the will of God. And these things begin to happen. That is one reason why, because I'm in the will of God, people tell me, God, I don't have people doing church in how you're supposed to have a building. And I told them, if y'all can live right in here, y'all can live right in no church. And furthermore, he ain't told me. He sent people here. But by me being obedient to him, not only did he's known in my life, he feel the presence of God on me when I run my mouth, but he brought my daughter in, and she's serious. With her walk with the Lord. Now, yes, a lot of work that he got to do, but he said, I'm going to put her in a wash pipe. When she come out, she's going to be clean. Ain't nothing that she did going to be able to see it on her. But what if I've just been churching, and he telling me to send the people to the house to do church, and I said, but I don't want people in my house. I think I'm going to go ahead and get a building. He ain't told me to get no building. But there was more power in that house because of me walking obedient than people's having in some of the church they're going to. It's giving up. Instead of doing what the people say doing and what I ought to have and what God's want to meet you and all this stuff, I did it like they say do. I would not have the things going on. Yeah, I'm going through some things. Yeah, the Lord has promised me some things. But I can see the peace of God in my life. I can see the anointing, even what I'm going through now. And I've been going through stuff that I don't talk and tell people about. But I see the peace of God is still there. And people have to be worried about this and be concerned about this. You know, you ought to call this place. You ought to call. I'm calling on Jesus. And if you can't call on Jesus with me, then I don't need you telling me to go this place, that place, what's going on. Because I have did that before in the beginning, way back. And he would have those shed in my face. Because he said, I told you. But you listen to other folks. Because you couldn't wait to believe that I could work it out for you. I tell you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. I did not tell you to tell me about it, and then you go and try to figure it out. Well, I think I call this person. I think I go this door, that door. And, you know, because I've had people come to me and say, well, you know, the Lord told me to go to this door, and then I had to go see the pastor. No, the Lord didn't. That's because the Lord told you he gave you the name of the exact person, whether you know them or not, to go exactly to them, not go through three or four doors. And he wouldn't have done that. But see, she wanted to give up her own way of thinking and idea. But God wanted me to come tonight, and you know, and he's probably going to have me teaching a whole lot more on this to tell people, to let people know your way of doing things, your way of thinking, how he's going to work it out, your, all this stuff, you got to give it up. You got to give it to the Lord. I'm not trying to figure it out no more. I can't figure out how God's going to work this thing out about this roof thing falling. You know, it ain't bothering me because of the hole there, because it don't have me not living in a place with holes in it, but not the best. But I don't want to breathe it in. You know, and I would even go to the point, if they come and put something over the top to keep from raining in, I'd be satisfied until God get ready to move. I'd be satisfied because he's giving me peace. He got something up his sleeve, something he's doing behind the scenes. And I can go ahead of him and listen to Carmine Christian tell me, well, you know, you need to call this roof place. It ain't my place, so why should I pay for the roof? I'm not going to pay for it. Not going to pay for it at all. God, whatever your will is. Because God can send somebody, if he's not ready for me to move, which I'm believing he is, because of what's been told to me. So I'm trusting and believing and waiting on God. I got to show you all in my teaching and preaching. I cannot be telling y'all to do you know, wait on God and trust God. And here I am behind the scenes trying to make promises happen. One thing about me, like I said, I'm not a hypocrite. Even when I was in the world and I did things, and you ask me a question, if I want to tell you, I tell you. If I didn't, I wouldn't tell you no lie. And in Christ, I'm not one either. Everything I tell y'all to do or whatever it is, I'm standing on trusting God for myself. I would rather it be that I'm trusting God to say he's going to do whether he don't do it or not, rather than start trying to make it happen. I know you can tell people all you want. People can see you going through and being rolled out of shit, act like they don't see nothing. So why should I trust people? Only that God in people. I don't see people that tell me when I'm going through, I mean really going through God. But you know, God would never let you go through like that. God wants you to, you know, be blessed and happy, da, 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 da. You know, all this stuff. And they would tell me, instead of blessing me and telling me, well, you know, you need to get another job. My back herniated disc. You telling me to go out and try to get a job. And my back's got the herniated disc. Instead of you helping me. I said, God would never bring me up a job like that with a back injury and don't tell me when it get hard to go back on another. I said, I don't know who y'all talking to. God, we don't serve a stupid God. He knows everything. He knows time going to get hard if I came off that job. He knows I had a daughter to take care of that was in school. He didn't say, well, I'm going to wait till she go to school and graduate, and then I'll take you through this. He didn't say that. I said, I paid attention to how he said things. I'm not saying all the time it was easy. I'm not saying I liked it. I'm not saying I understood, but I knew that I didn't have nobody to talk to that I could talk to that talked spiritually and talked the way of the kingdom. Them people going to church 24 hours speaking tongue and everything else, and I'm just a carnal minded as if they had never got Christ in their life. No. I'm here to tell y'all the truth. I'm here to walk in. I'm here to stand with you. I'm here to believe that God can and will change things if we believe him. And I'm not to see it and say, well, you know, I think maybe he might not be able to do that and you might need to do this. The only way I tell you anything, you better believe you got to tell me. I'm not getting no flesh. I don't go back and forth. And I'm saying and all of this, and my time to run out of my space, but all of this, I have learned how to lean and depend on God. I do not, like I said, although I'm not around y'all or anything like that, but I guarantee you that I'm still standing. Still trusting God, not only for y'all, but for myself also. Because I know he sees everything. He said, ain't no way in the world. I said, but they don't see me here, but he sees everything. He said, get to every man according to his ways of doing. I believe all of the Bible. I believe if I don't do what he say do, the judgment going to come to me. I believe if I do what he tell me to do, the blessing going to come to me. I believe that. I've seen what God has done in my life. So I got to come and just what he done called me for in these times to come and tell these people the truth, reteach some or whatever, or maybe take the cover off their eyes and see some other things or whatever it is, so they begin to walk in what he has already, Jesus has already done. And all this stuff that people going and asking Jesus, Jesus heal, Jesus do this, and Jesus do, he said it's finished. Now I went back to heaven, sending another one like me, the comfort of the Holy Ghost, to buy, which is the same. And if ye believe the work that I did, ye shall do it also, and greater works. Well, it doesn't mean we're going to do something he never did. But with all of us that claim to have that kind of Holy Ghost and power in us, it ought to be spread all over the world. All over the world. I told God this morning, I don't want to be a person that somebody's sick or whatever that's going to tell them they can be healed. I want to walk in the power of God. That if I speak it, or go in there, they have to get up. And I know it's going to take a sacrificial push God for me to walk there. I'm going to have to believe all this word, not deviate. Not deviate at all. But I want to encourage y'all. I got to get off now because my time is a pass. I'm surprised this thing haven't cut us off. But we just bless you in the name of Jesus. I go in the free conference tomorrow at 8 my time, 7th century. Tomorrow night. But y'all be blessed. I am serious, very serious. And I'm telling you to be serious. You're going to have that hatred of other people, okay? That is the way it is. They're going to think you're crazy, off the rocket. They thought Jesus was like that, so I'm not better than him. But that's the way to go. That is the way to go, to live in peace in your enemy, not necessarily peace around you, in your enemy, that you sitting up with your leg crossed, ain't worried about nothing, although they're cutting flips out there. And people, well, you ain't out there looking. God got it. It's not my business. It's his business. I'm going to stay in here and maybe stay in and pray or whatever. That's what I'm going to do. But anyway, love y'all. Bless y'all. Thank y'all for coming on. And let's just continue to... usually this is something y'all know. I'm going to have to trust y'all. I'll be telling y'all this. Because I don't usually ask a lot of people to pray for me, okay? But I'm asking y'all to pray for me, keep me standing on the wall, for God to keep me standing on the wall, and God's divine purpose and will be done in my life. That's just the way I've done over years. A lot of time I wouldn't ask people. People say, you know, one minute they say they believe, next minute, I don't know, maybe you need to do this. I stop asking them. But when I do ask, that's because I trust the God in you. Okay, I trust your prayer, and I trust that you'll be praying God's will, not try to pray me out of something, pray me through it, okay? Pray me through it. But anyway, y'all continue to have a blessed, blessed night, and we'll talk again, and thanks again, and I pray the blessing of God be upon you, and I love y'all, I really do. So have a good night, okay? All right, let me see this thing. Oh, Lord, I don't know what this thing is doing. Hold on.